Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, I guess. A couple minutes early, but why not take the top of the hour? And Rusty Arnold steps in, and we're going to go back to Wednesday. Didn't get a chance, you know, with the Wednesday midweek stakes at Keeneland and going into the weekend. So great to catch up with Rusty, because Concrete Rose absolutely stamped herself a serious Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf candidate. And anybody that saw her at Saratoga knew that she was going to be very much one of the players in the Jessamine. Rusty, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
Was looking forward to this, and kind of knew that that morning line wasn't going to hold on her. There were too many people who kind of thought that she had a good look coming in second start. And, you know, for you to go ahead and you know, point her for that kind of a spot says a lot.
Well, the race at Saratoga was a very good race. Not that she only won it. It was a lot of quality fillies in there. Alan Goldberg felt highly of his filly, Wesley Moore, Graham Motion. I think Alan's filly came back and won. Graham's filly just lost at Kentucky Downs, and I think it was a very good race, and it stood up, and we thought it would, and she had trained spectacular. So it was it's one of those where you didn't kind of point her, she took you.
You know, watching the race, I think a big part of this that's exciting and kind of deceptive about how good she might be, because figures, you know, the figs don't really tell the story with her. The way in which Lascano was so confident and just basically saved ground and waited, and then when asked, she just produced. And, I mean, she did just exactly enough that, you know, she needed to do to win.
Yeah, he had been on her quite a few. He'd been on her two or three times at Saratoga, and he really, really liked her. I think a lot of people are suspect of, you know, going two turns second time out, which she stretched out, and we were on the other side of the fence. We were surprised she sprinted as good as she did. We thought the quality was there. We really liked her. We got her in going 5.5, and we weren't going to be disappointed with a strong finish that day, and you know, not just a win. We thought, well, she's going to come running. It's a really fast group of fillies, and when she got there sprinting on the wrong lead, lugging in, she did about everything wrong you could do. She didn't leave the gate. She was finished on the wrong lead. We changed late and lugged in badly, and still was going by horses. We were pretty impressed, and we were excited about going to the two turns, because that's what we thought she wanted.
Hey, give us a little bit of the back story, because we didn't get a chance. I think we talked after, I forget which win, but before she, I don't think we talked about her, if I can.
I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Give us, you know, a little bit of the history here. I mean, she's Twirling Candy out of a Powers Court mare, which, you know, we're not seeing a lot of.
Yeah, the history on her is Bo Bromigen and David and Gordo bought her at Timonium. I had not seen her. I can't take any credit whatsoever. David and Bo picked her out. And he called me up and told me he bought the filly, and I actually asked you, okay, the Twirl of Candy. I said, I've been pretty good with him, and pretty happy with him so far, because Morticia's a Twirling Candy. And I said, sure.
Right.
So he went ahead and purchased her. They did, and sent her to me, and she has just not done anything wrong. It's one of those great stories. She came right out of the sale. We didn't give her any time off. She didn't go to the farm. We brought her right into the barn. She started working. And I went up to Churchill Downs. She worked really good two or three times in a row. We brought her right to Saratoga, and did we think she would advance quite this fast? I don't think anybody thinks it's going to happen, and it has, and she's taken us to where we want to be.
Unbelievable. 61,000, and what a nice buy, and Good job, David and Bo. Good work, Ashbrook and BBN partnered in here, and so they've got to be thrilled. And obviously, you know, fit and just looking ahead to the Breeders' Cup. Talk a little bit about getting ready for that.
Yeah, well, she'll stay right here at Keeneland for a couple more weeks, and I'll move over to Churchill. But actually, her first start was for Ashbrook, and then BBN Racing, which is a new group, started up and had put, you know, quite a few investors together. I don't know how many, and they were going to the yearling sale and had talked to us about, to Bo, about doing some work for them, picking out their yearlings. And I'd seen people do that for a lot of years, and I told them, I said, you know, why don't you try to get a horse running? You get a group of yearlings that people have to wait for a year for them to run. And I said, if you talk to Bo, he might let you in on this filly. And that's how that came about. So there's a lot. It's a funny story. There's a lot of people who've never owned a horse and they're going to the Breeders' Cup. And in the second month they've owned one, it's pretty amazing.
That's tremendous. Nothing like doing a Fred Hooper.
exactly.
Taking your first horse.
She came out of the race, great Steve. She's going to stay right here at Keeneland. I'll move her over probably early that week. I think you have to be there on Tuesday. We'll probably go Monday. And you don't have to worry about acclimating to a track when it's a turf horse. You just got to be able to handle the crowd, and I think she'll do that. She's handled Saratoga. She appears to have a great mind on her. You know, you want them to keep it, but she is not. She just was just a total opposite of her first race. It seemed like she did everything right. She was great in the paddock. She was great in the gate. She broke running. She stayed where Jose wanted her. She rated kindly and kicked home. So we don't have to fix a lot for the next race. We just don't want to mess anything up.
Well, she's going to mix it up with, obviously, I think everybody, the expectation is that everybody is well aware that Newspaper of Record will go in as the domestic favorite, but Concrete Rose absolutely right in the mix, and the Euro contingent does look fairly intriguing. Charlie Appleby and O'Brien and Ellison, and there's that... that horse of that Buzz Schwartz bought, that Lily's Candle that popped up out of the toaster, and the juvenile filly turf going to be hot. This is a good group.
Yeah, it's I'm not as familiar with the European contingent as you are. Chad's always tough. Chad's horses are tough to beat. You know, they do a great job. And he's got a really, really nice filly. He's always hard to beat. And I think Tom Proctor's got a nice filly in California that's coming. And I think the U.S. horses will be good. I don't know the European horses as well, but the names you just mentioned are enough. You know, when you talk about Appleby and O'Brien, that they're going to bring nice fillies. It's going to be a good race. And I'm happy I'm in it, and I like our filly. I think it's another step forward she'll have to take, but she's taken two good steps so far.
Well done, Concrete Rose, 2 for 2, and Breeders' Cup next. And let's talk quickly about Morticia too. And we big fan of Morticia, and the effort on Friday was solid.
Yeah, she ran hard. She no excuse. She got down on the inside of the track. It probably was a little rougher, and she got behind the horse. She's usually not behind it, and took her out of her game just a little bit. But she came on home running. She ran good. She Steve Philly's got really good. She's beat us 3 times in a row. So you can't dismiss the facts that she's maybe just a touch better right now. But we didn't get exactly the trip we wanted. We're probably going to run this filly one more time this year. Last year we stopped at this stage. But, you know, you don't get many like her, Steve. She's run 2 years and she's never missed the board. 2 years. Has not missed the board. I haven't had many like that.
No, that says a lot. I mean, that tells you all you need to know. And she'll stay on? She'll come back for next year?
She will be back next year. Yeah, she's the pet in the barn, and everybody likes her. She's, as long as she stays at that level, there's no question she'll stay on for another year.
Well, in addition, of course, to the Wednesday and Friday stake performers. A lot happening coming up this week, and you're in all 3 days so far of the racing at Keeneland. Let's just hit a couple, and I got to dig through here, Rusty. I think I saw, did I not, I've got all the Keeneland stuff here piled up. Let me ask you about the two moons, East Moon and Troubling Moon.
Yeah, Troubling Moon's a first-time starter. He's into mischief, and we think he's okay. You've got to find your way. It's a sprint, first time out. You've got to end up finding your way to see what they want to do. Might want to go a little farther, might want grass, but he's a horse that has ability, and we think he'll show up and run well first time out. And East Moon is a filly that, for some reason, I haven't got her to where I think she should be. She's had many chances. She's run really good, respectable races. I keep thinking she's going to break through and be a nice filly for me, and I'm not going to get up on that thought, but she needs to win one for me. She just keeps getting right there. She's knocking on the door, and for different reasons she hasn't won, but she's doing well and looks like in a good spot Friday.
Let me ask about Laser Loop too, because this one is certainly cut out on the breeding side. Smart Strike out of Magical Ride, and Watts Humphrey bred this one and then bought it back. Ran an improved race at Keeneland in the spring and then had the whole summer off.
Yeah, he ran really well. We thought we were going to have a good summer with him. He came back with a small issue. We had to back off of him. We had to send him to the farm. No surgeries, no problems. He just had to go home, and he's come back and has not missed a beat, and we expect him to run well on Thursday.
I don't know where I put it, Rusty. Is it Gambit, maybe?
Well, Gambit is in the same race with Troubling Moon. There we go. They split the race. They have one in one half and two in the other, and okay. He's coming off a layoff. He had a shin issue in the spring. We stopped on him and took care of his shins and now brought him back.
And it was Gambit that I was reaching for. Sending out Gambit, a Preston Madden homebred, and of course the passing of Anita in recent weeks, and really the whole community stopped and paid tribute, and I'll give you the opportunity as well.
Yeah, I did not know Anita near as much as Preston, and it was, she just, everybody knows the history of the family and what they've meant to the business and what they've meant to Lexington, Kentucky, and it's an honor to work for them. They're just great people, and again, my relationship's more with Preston. I haven't known her as well, but they have, when you go through the history of Lexington, you think of the Maddens.
Absolutely, Hamburg Place, and one of the names that is just kind of etched. It was one of those Mount Rushmore type names when it comes to the industry. Well, Rusty, good things happening, and a big filly. You can focus in on Breeders' Cup for Concrete Rose. Keep her happy, healthy, and we can't wait to see you at Churchill.
All right, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Rusty Arnold, who we always enjoy talking to and seeing at the track. Let's take a break. We're into hour two. Johnny D standing by. We got plenty to do with Johnny as we start to. We haven't broken the eggs yet. We're going to assemble the eggs first. He's opened the hatchery. he's going to cultivate all of the eggs before breaking them. So we're getting ready. And we'll also look at that Stronach 5 from Friday with Johnny and see how his weekend was. In addition, to follow, we got David Simcock. Looking forward to that. And Natalie Fox on the occasion of her first win. Marcus Hirsch, Guy Torsiglieri. It's Far Hills. It's Grand National Week, Saturday, there in Bedminster, New Jersey. Looking forward to it, as always. Johnny D next, though. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on home?
Johnny D joins us. The best part of being a little bit late getting to Johnny and using the top of the hour break for Rusty before Rusty joined us is that I get to play, you know, Fine Young Cannibals and Johnny. Good morning,
Stevie.
Hey, hey.
What? You had a big weekend at Colgate.
Big time. Say hey, Mighty Raiders.
I saw a few little social media tweets and Instagrams along the way. I felt like I was with you.
Well, you would have enjoyed it. You would have enjoyed it. I'll tell you, it was right. It was that kind of, you know, the sports aspect. And what's better than a hockey football doubleheader?
How does Tina put up with you? That's what I want to know.
It's a great question, it's one that everybody asks. They've been asking it for 10 years.
I saw one picture. It was like a beautiful autumn shot. It felt like football and pumpkins and Halloween, and it was a great shot. I guess the sun had just come out for a little while.
Well, Sunday. I mean, Saturday was. Saturday was bizarre. It was cold and rainy, and then the sun came out and it would get warm for 10 minutes. Then it was bizarre, but nothing was going to deter the faithful at Andy Kerr. And there's nothing more enjoyable than embarrassing Cornell. That's going to go over well in the Shenango Valley every single time. beating the Big Red.
You know, I have to say that in addition to enhancing my racing knowledge, you sent me to Google this morning. You drove me to Google with something you said about your weekend. You said you visited your goddaughter.
Yeah.
And to a narrow-minded South Philadelphia native, I mean, goddaughters are only Catholic. Only Catholics have goddaughters. You can't have a goddaughter if you're not Catholic. And you drove me to Google, and it's not true. I am 100% wrong, or incorrect. I shouldn't say wrong. Incorrect. I did not realize that. I always thought that Don Corleone was the only godfather, and you know, it was about baptism and promising to raise a child in the Catholic religion. But I was wrong.
No, absolutely. I had a godfather and a godmother. My aunt actually is my godmother and my late aunt, and my godfather was a Don Fearn. Good friends of Don and Marilyn Fearn from Great Neck, and Don was my godfather. But John Hubbard, John, when he started having the kids, and I asked them, I said, who's going to be godfather? He said, do you want to be godfather? I said, be my honor. So I ended up being godfather to all three of John's kids, Sarah and Sammy and Emma, and it's special. Considering that I was tracking toward not having my own children, it's really nice to have to have godchildren to be a part of their lives.
I'm trying to remember, and I know I was alive during this period when we did not have Google. How did we get from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock each day?
Well, you had to go to libraries. You had to go to your own reference guides and encyclopedias. You remember the encyclopedia?
Yeah. Or you had to ask your parents, which would add misinformation to the misinformation you already had.
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I had a lot of misinformation this weekend.
Yeah, no. Do you want to start on Friday though? Let's start with the Stronach, because I thought that Friday was really interesting, and ended up being, well worth trying, Johnny. And Laurel tripped me up again.
Really?
I blew it. Believe me. I admit. I didn't put a huge ticket together, but I absolutely botched the Laurel. I had the single. I singled the Muse at Santa Anita to close it out, but it didn't matter. I was already botched.
Yeah, well, there are two things you said I'd like to comment on. Number one, you said it was worth approaching. The wager was worth approaching. And I have to, once again, say how the payoffs are just, I mean, they're incredible. $3,600. For a sequence that has a $14 winner and a $12, $20 winner, that's awesome. 580, 760, and 520. Those are the other payoffs. The Stronach, there we go. Old habits are tough to break. The Stronach
it's 5, my fault.
The Stronach 5 is, it's almost like you have to play it because it's going to pay so well. And even after I handicapped the races, which, you know, I do earlier in the week because the PPs have been out early. When I get to scratches and changes and, excuse me, track conditions and whatnot, I still feel kind of lost in these sequences. But when they run the races, after the races are over, I look and I say, yeah, how So the second thing he said was botched. And I feel like I've botched these wagers the past 3 weeks of Astronic 5 because I feel like I have not found the correct singles/singles plural. I haven't put the emphasis in the right places. Now, why? Why am I having trouble? Because they haven't been races where a lot of these races have been races filled with question marks. And I think that's how I've kind of found myself with a lot of question marks. So I haven't really backed up any of my opinions with any strength. And that's made my tickets weak. And this week, I botched it because I went against the Kit Kat, without remorse, at Gulfstream Park 1220 winner. I singled number 9, Victor Lodge, who ended up going off the even money favorite and didn't fire. It was a bad single. I look back at the PPs. I look at my scribbling. And this was a maiden going to winners. And I was like, what were you thinking? Where did that come from? And I look at the winner, and I understand why I didn't use the winner. Because the winner was 1 for 15. And more often than not, I will exclude those types of horses.
Sure.
Even though in this particular race, there was not a lot of quality, a lot of depth, but I will lean away from those kinds of horses. And I do it pretty religiously, and I feel like it saved me more than it's hurt me. So I understand where I messed up there, but to single that other one, that was like, dude, I look back now, I'm like, what are you? You know, at what time did you handicap? Have you started drinking yet? I mean, that was quite terrible. So anyway, and then I look at 3,600 and I think, man, that is havable. I really thought it was havable. But do you have a feeling when you look at these races that having trouble putting my foot down anywhere and feeling really good about putting my foot down?
Well, I thought that the anchor leg, that Santa Anita fourth, the Mandela Claiborne. I thought that filly was absolutely a single type, you know, especially knowing you had to go narrow somewhere, and the place I ended up, you know, going too narrow was obviously with Laurel. And, you know, originally I thought there were six potential winners in here. And, well, what can I tell you? I mean, I don't know how, when that horse won easy, I just shook my head. I mean, why that horse wasn't higher on my radar screen, I don't know. I kind of glossed over Olive Cat, even though, frankly, in retrospect, the debut was okay. I mean, was fourth, beaten five in maiden special company, going 5.5, and you know that experience should have been good for something. I wasn't holding an 0-for-9 in second starts against Jeremiah O'Dwyer, and the horse had bulleted too. I mean, there was coming in, so I just. You know, I just was too high on and drawn toward the firsters, as potential, jump up candidates. Mrs. Weber's horse. I will tell you one thing that influences me a little bit. I mean, here you had a Medaglia d'Oro homebred by Live Oak, and I was in the maiden winner photo of Cry and Catch Me. So I have affection for the mare. So I figured she would come out running Super Escape. And she was ordinary. She just kind of went around. So that
yeah, hurt. Well, I, yeah. It hurt 3,600 horse.
Yep.
this was a weekend of 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6. Just one of those weekends where you've got, you know, you just, and look, I've often asked this question. And we may have talked about it at some point over the last 87 years of doing this show. But I was asked the question, would you rather be knocked out of the pick six in the first leg or the last leg? Would you rather be knocked out of the pick five in the first leg or the last leg?
How about probably the first. I mean, the first, because you can come back with a pick four. And yeah. In fact, we did that, I think, week one. Week one. Was it week one?
I can't remember. Week one
of the five. No, I got through the. There was. It must have been. I don't know. Maybe it was week. Maybe it was.
Well, no. Think about a regular pick five,
yeah,
or pick six at a track. Would you rather lose the first leg or the last leg?
Oh, the first leg, without a doubt.
Yeah, because then you can play whatever the next thing is. And then the opposite answer is, no, I don't want to get knocked out the first leg. I'd rather go to the end, because if I'm alive at the end, I can save with other horses. Plus, I'm riding the same money. I haven't played anything else. I'm saving money, even though. So if you're alive for the first five, look at all those winners, and a pick six, look at all those winners you've missed. You've been right all day, and you just sit.
Right, exactly, exactly. No, no doubt, no doubt. That is the worst scenario. I mean, if you're skating along and you know, you say to yourself, I don't need to spend more money here because I'm live, and that happens. That happens to everybody.
There have been occasions when I've come to the last leg of maybe a pick five or a pick six, and I've been able to save with horses I don't have, and I've, you know, pulled my bacon out of the fire. But for the most part, I guess when you get knocked out early, there's less aggravation, and that really is like the that's the most important thing. The money is how you keep score. It's the aggravation, the aggravation level that you want to keep. For me, you want to keep that lower, because and getting knocked out of the last leg of a pick four, a pick five, a pick six, it's got to be the most aggravating feeling. I just hate it, and it happened all weekend. No matter where I turn, the Keeneland Woodbine pick four. I missed, what was it, Chicarica. Now, don't laugh at me. I don't know how I missed Chicarica, but I did. I had like four horses in the race and missed Chicarica. And I was kicking myself. It was a free bingo space in the first leg.
Right.
So, you know, all you have to do is pick three winners in a row. It's pretty easy. Not really.
What did you know? I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't notice it on the chart, and I wasn't when the last leg went. I didn't afterward. I turned back to what I was, you know, what we were doing in Hamilton. What did that pay the Keeneland Woodbine pick four?
I want to say, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm terribly wrong. Like 600 to 800, something like that. Six something, I think.
Wow.
Because I remember thinking to myself that I thought it maybe would have been more, but I think the free bingo space in the first race.
Sure.
That made it a pick three. So if it's a pick three and it paid that much, it's pretty good. I think that's what it was, just in my memory. You can look it up, I'm sure. But,
yeah.
You could Google it.
There you go.
So anyway, Stronach 5, I'm committed, man. There's no reason that I can think of, especially with the low 12% takeout, and the fact that you know, it's kind of a fun thing to do on Friday. There's no reason in my mind that I wouldn't continue to play this thing and actually look forward to it.
Agreed.
If you catch one of these, I think you're going to come out for the season, which I don't even know how long the season is. I don't think there's been any determination about when it ends. I haven't seen any, I don't think.
No, I haven't either. You know, and by the way, I should slip this in, talking about the cross country type, these multi-track, multi-race wagers. There's an issue from over the weekend that people may have seen about the Yonkers Belmont pick four, and Naira is going to refund everybody. If you hit it, if you put your ticket in and hit it, you got paid $1,200. But everybody else is going to be refunded on it after the stop betting order did not come through at Yonkers in the first leg. The seventh at Yonkers. This is from Saturday. And they're trying to figure out why that happened. And then they're also looking at the one from the combination at Longchamp, where it appeared that he thought that he's got a timestamp ticket that he could bet after the sequence started at Longchamp with the Arc. He had the Arc and the Prix d'Opera. And so that one is being looked into. I wanted to make sure people were aware of both of those.
Now there was one thing I read regarding that topic. It said that if I read this correctly, none of the tickets sold after the stop wagering limit, none of the tickets sold after that were winners.
Correct.
Now, how tough is this game? You're allowed to bet after. So it reminded me, and I'd forgotten about this, but okay, we're going back to probably the 80s, early 80s, and I'm working the press box at a California racetrack, and I'm in the press box, and I walk down the press box to visit. I'm working on the Jane Goldstein Santa Anita publicity staff, and I walk down the press box to the end of the press box to deliver a message, and one of the guys that's working in the press box is on the phone, and he's on the phone with his bookie. And he's trying to get a bet down on the last race at Santa Anita. Well, the horses, the gates already popped. And they're running. And they're into the first turn. And he's arguing with this person on the other end of the phone. He's saying, I know there are no phones at the racetrack, but I'm at the racetrack and the race is already running. I wanted to bet the last race. But I know they locked the phones at the racetrack, but I'm at a phone that's not locked, and the race is already going. I wanted to bet the last race. Okay. Give me a $10 exacta. Now the horses are down. They're at the half-mile pole now. Halfway through the race. It's like a mile race. Mile 16, probably. They're halfway around, and he starts betting exactas. And probably way more than he should have. Do you know he didn't cash one ticket in that race? He did not cash one ticket. I should have known right then, right there, that this is a crazy game. I should not want to. I should have run. I should have run out of the place.
That is funny.
It's like these second half bets in the football games. You get to see half the game, then you get the bet in the second half.
You would think that would give you some indication of where things were headed.
Yeah. Anyway, that was kind of funny. I thought that, and when I read that line, and none of the tickets sold after wagering was supposed to be closed, none of them won. I thought that old moment would crack me up.
That is funny. I love it.
Obviously, Russian fall, man. Sometimes a race where, I guess this is when you make that transition from racing fan, I mean, from horse player, from better to racing fan. And they're not, it doesn't always take a transition. Sometimes they run parallel. But every once in a while, you'll notice that, it's a race where you think one horse is much the best, and you're not really interested in much wagering on the race. Try using multi-leg wagers or whatever. But to watch Rushing Fall, and if anyone wants to know what a horse looks like when they're going easy and yet they're just breezing along, and you hear people talk about a horse's ears, that their ears are up, their ears are pricked. If you ever want to see an example of what going easy with ears pricked looks like, watch Rushing Fall in the race on Saturday. I mean, her ears are like straight up in the air, and they're turning, like listening, and she's just absolutely just breezing along. And you'll see it at one point. The jock asked her to run a little bit because they kind of came to her. And he asked her to run a little bit, and she opened up a little bit. And then she just went back to relaxing and playing. And then they came to her at the just after the turn into the stretch. And Jock started to ask her just a little bit, and she responded and just drew off. I mean, it's really – now, look, she was supposed to do that. I understand all that part. When you hear somebody say, it's how they did it, that's impressive. This is a case. This is one of those cases where she just, exuded class and ability and talent so much grander than everyone else. And the way she went about her business, it was beautiful. So that's how, when you go from better to fan, take your hat, you switch hats. And then on Sunday, at Santa Anita, chasing yesterday, she ran down the Hollendorfer's filly. Look, I mean, you've got Mike Smith on a filly. He's got the lead at Santa Anita. Even though the track was different Santa Anita Sunday than it was Saturday, it was more conducive to a little bit more conducive to speed horses on Saturday, but chasing yesterday, man, and she was just, she's wide, she's breezing up to the up to contention, and then you've got Mike Smith on It's Just an Illusion, who's had a pretty good cruising lead, and you think to yourself, chasing yesterday, wide, 3-4 wide the whole way, moves to her, and for a moment there, it didn't look like she was going to go by her, but right at the end, she just started to inch away, just right at the end, and, pure class, just a really, really nice, I thought, impressive race from chasing yesterday. It's really pretty, well done. Another case where you put your fan hat on, and you watch the race, because it wasn't much of a wagering race. And you say, for It's Just an Illusion, who is many clear of everyone else, wow, she's got a lot of ability. But this one, chasing yesterday, what a race she ran. So there are a couple of those moments this weekend that were kind of fun.
Very much, and I mentioned Johnny in advance of the visit. Got now 2 weeks, basically, to get organized and familiarize ourselves with the Cup contenders, and I'm going to do my part here this week for everybody. Marcus Hirsch is going to join us at 11, give or take, 11:15, and we'll get Marcus's international take. He tracks the mile and the turf and some of the juvenile turf action as well. So we're going to start to really commit here. And, of course, the ExpressBet Breeders' Cup Wagering Guide, not that far off, a week from Friday.
Yeah, available the 26th. And we've got a great roster of experts this year. There are 14 races. We've got 14 experts in the guide. And then we'll have guide updates after the guide is released on October 26th, a week before the Breeders' Cup. And then on the following Thursday, we'll have input from Eddie Olczyk and also Brent Musburger will be handicapping some races. So that'll be interesting. But beginning October 26th, you can get a head start on the Breeders' Cup with the ExpressBet Breeders' Cup Wager Guide. It's free. Go to ExpressBet.com beginning October 26th. And while we're on the subject, there was a winner this week at Newmarket in the Doer Stakes. Too Darn Hot. Trained by John Gosden, ridden by Frankie Dettori. Absolutely sensational performance. I don't think this one's coming over, but and this is kind of the information you'll find in the wager guide. 8 of 11 juvenile turf winners, 8 of the last 11, or 8 of 11 overall juvenile turf winners are from Europe, have been from Europe. 5 of those prepped at Newmarket. And 3 of the last 6 were in this very stakes race, the Doer Stakes. So I wanted to make sure I got a look at that race. Aiden O'Brien, who had success, obviously, in that race, come Breeders' Cup time, he only had 3 runners out of the 7 in this one. So let's see who comes over. Let's see what happens. But Too Darn Hot. Wow. Impressive performance. Unbeaten in 4 starts. This is a son of the Bowie, owned by Lord Lloyd Webber.
Yes.
Who could write a song or two?
Yes, he's had a little bit of Broadway success, undoubtedly. I saw a piece. I guess they're not going to go forward, but I had Too Darn Hot on the list for now, just in case. But the Euro contingent certainly going to be. I guess that Anthony Van Dyck you can probably expect, and kind of fits the profile.
Agreed.
That agreed. Tom Dascombe. Dascombe's got Arthur Kitt. Then we'll see about Cardini and Landforce from O'Brien yet as well. Spencer's got that Rumble in the Jungle. But I don't think Sydney Opera House is coming now. That's one I got a question mark next to. And we went through some of the fillies earlier when Rusty Arnold joined us to talk about Concrete Rose. And the filly race has got some very nice Euro company. La Pelosa, Charlie Appleby, just wonderful. O'Brien, Ellison's got the Macam Bullet, who I brought up. She's going to be a price. I brought her up with Nick Luck a week ago Friday.
You know what's funny, and this comes out of the ExpressBet Breeders' Cup Wager Guide. North American representatives have won 8 out of 10 renewals of the Phillies end of things.
Right. Well, that's Chad.
I always find it interesting. They dominate. It's Chad.
Yeah. That's a Chad.
The juvie turf, but Chad dominates the, which is, I always thought, European-based favorite in the juvenile Phillies turf. 0-1-1 in 6 tries. Euro-based favorite. So I guess what it says is we're still betting these Euros as the wagering public, but they're 0-6. Interesting stat.
It is.
The stats are fun, and they're great to look at, and I do think, you know, you're talking about with the Breeders' Cup, it's a series that's now, 30-whatever years old. And so you have some trends. Also, you have trends from where these races are held now, because I think this is the 8th time at Churchill. So that starts to gather some trends that you can look at. You know, when you start to visit a certain place, it certainly brings the Eastern horses more into play than the ship to California, brings Europeans more into play, the weather. You know, there are reasons for these trends. They're not just, you know, thrown out there.
Great. And you can use them. There's a lot of that, and that's one of the fun things. And the way you and Jeremy dig up some of those, it's fun. And a lot of people will just turn to it and let other, you know, there's nothing wrong with letting others do that kind of work for you, and then just utilizing it. That's the whole, you know, that's the whole point of the guide. And we do it a lot for Triple Crown, but these. You know, the formful nature of a lot of these comes into play, and that's what we're counting on. That's what we're trying to deliver.
Yeah, and thank you for getting me rundowns from you've already started getting rundowns from various VRF people along the way. Last week you had Jay Pridman on, Mary Rampolini,
Marty and Nicole, and Marty, we'll survey everybody else this week. Mike Welch too, for the sprint.
Yeah, that is such a help, finning things out. You know, I have a spreadsheet that I work with, you know, trying to get all the divisions in place and who, with my comments, who I liked, who I didn't like, who I, you know, who's going to move forward, who's not going to. And it helps to just be able to pick a few boxes, move people off or in. You know, it's important.
Well, and we'll keep doing it, and then. 2 weeks to do it, and then a week at Churchill to really narrow it down. So, Johnny, I appreciate it. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you later in the week as well. And I'll be in Philly on Sunday, actually.
You'll be here Sunday. You're going to the Birds game, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
Well, I hope the weather holds up. Hey, how about this? They were off the turf Saturday at Santa Anita. I don't know if you picked that up in your travels.
I did. I did see that. They had a surprise. You see the notices. It's gotten so, everybody's gotten, you know, just so used to it. It's been so tough. So why should they be exempt?
Because they're in California.
They're supposed to be. All right. Johnny, I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon. We've got a lot to do yet over these last hour and 15. Marcus Hirsch is going to be part of the get-together. I think we're going to slip in Natalie Fox. And we got Natalie, we got Maker, we got, I don't know. Casey and I are going to convene. We'll figure it out back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
3-8-4-6-4-3.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
What you gonna do?
Time is money, so don't fuck with mine. Seeing up with my girls, I'ma have a good time. Back with your chit chat, killing my vibe.
We're back at the races. Coming up to the top of the hour, and a real pleasure to get a chance to talk to David Simcock off the win at Woodbine on Saturday, the Canadian International Desert Encounter, and it was a wonderful day, not just for Simcock and the team, but for Mackenzie too, who won both the E.P. Taylor and the Canadian International. And David is making a real habit of coming over to Woodbine and winning these big races. David, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Casey. No, it was a great night, and no, it's very special.
Do you identify the certain kind of horse that you want to bring to North America?
Yeah, we do to a certain extent. We tend to bring a mature, older horse that's proven, adaptable, racing on any ground, and basically with the right temperament to come over. And we've been very fortunate to train a few in the last few years, and it's proved very lucky for us.
Well, and you've had, you know, some wonderful international globe-trotting types, including one of my favorite, David. It's the first time we've had a chance to get you on the show, but Sheikh Zayed Road was just such a wonderful horse.
Absolutely. He turned up all over the world. He was my first big winner in Canada. He wasn't my first runner in Canada, but he's my first big winner. He won the Northern Dancer. He won in Dubai. He was placed twice in the Dubai Gold Cup. He was third in the international 3 years ago. And he had a lovely, wonderful career where he won best part of over £1.5 million. And now he's retired, and he's retired a sound and happy horse.
You know, it is going to be tough. It used to be that whenever we would look at the carnival entries, there were certain races during the carnival that you know, they couldn't run the races without him.
Absolutely. He turned up. He danced lots of dances. He turned up and he won twice out there. And like I said, he was second in two Gold Cups. He ran in two Shima Classics, which was, you know, was tough going for a horse that really wanted a little bit further. And, you know, he won on British Champions Day here, which was a grade two, but it was very, very valuable. And, you know, he won, I think, six stakes races altogether, and he's a wonderful horse, and he's now going to be a hack at home.
I love it. And, of course, Desert Encounter has done his share of traveling as well, and he's been to Dubai and back, a six-year-old, and this is a big win for him.
It was a massive win for him. You know, he'd danced some pretty hard dances. He was third in the Coral Eclipse last year, which was a very tough race. He's a dual-listed winner. He's a grade three winner in England. He went to Dubai in March with a bad bet. And that proved on the night he only beat one home, but we think he's better than that. And we'll probably prepare him again for Dubai, but we'll probably take him early and give him two or three starts, certainly two starts before World Cup night, and give it another go.
Talk a little bit too about Andre Atenzi, who, you know, we haven't seen that much in North America. Certainly, the public, the North American fan and horse player, they'll know a little bit more about him after Saturday.
Absolutely, very talented rider. He actually, as an apprentice, he rode my first big winner, which was Zarevich, and we've had a good understanding and a good relationship ever since. He was number one jockey for Qatar, took over from Jamie Spencer, and he had that role for a year. And then he was basically became stable jockey to Roger Varian and retained by Mohamed Abeda, who owned Shaker Raker on Saturday. Very talented, very tall, and one of the most laid-back guys, and one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Well, he sweeps the two grade ones on Saturday, and Roger Varian, of course, sent out the winner of the Taylor, Shaker Raker. For you, what do we expect for Breeders' Cup? I think Lightning Spear on target?
That looks likely. He's in terrific form. He's won his Group 1, probably most prestigious Group 1 over a mile in England. And he's a very, very talented horse. When he gets his conditions and a track like Churchill will suit him. He's adaptable ground-wise. And I finished third in a Breeders' Cup mile with Trade Storm 3 or 4 years ago. And this would be a notch up on him. So, listen, we will go there in 3 weeks. Really, really looking forward to running. And as long as we get the right draw, and we're not drawn down in the car park, we'll be really looking forward to running.
for those that don't know what a car park is, the parking lot is being out wide.
Yeah, in the middle of the track.
I love it. Any juveniles for you, David, coming up?
I wouldn't be seen as a juvenile trainer, really. I've got a lovely Kingman horse that's going to run in the Group 1. What was the Racing Post Trophy in 2 weeks' time. But I tend to train very few sprinters. I was very lucky enough to have Dream Ahead, who was champion sprinter a few years back. But basically, we train sort of mile-up horses, slightly slower horses. So juveniles-wise, we have plenty, but they're more late-maturing horses, and hence you see my horses that come across the pond are basically 4, 5, and 6 years.
You know, you mentioned Trade Storm. Trade Storm won at what did he win at Woodbine?
He won the Woodbine Mile. Yeah,
okay.
The Woodbine Mile got a win, and you're in. And we took him down to Santa Anita. The most wonderful time. Great 5 days down there. A real holiday for somebody like me. And then he turned up and finished third to Cari Conti and ran a super race, coming from the back and finished off his race real strong. And that was very special. We'd love to go two better. I'd take one better, but we'd love to go two better.
Well, Lightning Spear certainly going to be among the major players. I haven't checked what the bookies are offering on Lightning Spear, but he's got to be one of the more serious contenders heading stateside.
Absolutely, he looks fantastic. He's got a high cruising speed, which he'll need. And Shake Barhead's very keen to support the Breeders' Cup. He's, there's talk about him and Roaring Lion going over, and that would be very exciting.
Well, and waiting on that decision, some of the others, Recoletis, waiting for a decision on Polydream, and I guess Lawrence, either Philly and Mare Turf or the Mile, and those are the major players, I guess. Plumatic, maybe, from Favre.
Yeah, I mean Plumatic won Grade 3 in England, for sovereign's sakes, and then finished actually in front of Lightning Spear when things didn't fall right at Longchamp and Moulin. And he's a very talented horse. Of course, Lauren's a real hard-knocking filly. She actually has just been supplemented for Saturday at Champions Day. So where they're thinking of taking her, I'm not sure.
Interesting. Well, we're looking forward to getting you back again, and Breeders' Cup Mile for Lightning Spear can focus on that. And David Simcock, an absolute pleasure. I appreciate the visit.
Absolutely. Great to see the Jets doing well, winning the last two games. It's the first time in a while they've actually stepped up to the plate. But Sam Darnold, I think, is a future star.
Look at you. I love it. Great job.
All the best, JT. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, David. J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 from David Simcock. Who knew? He's a Jets fan. I love it. Let's take a break. Marcus Hirsch is going to join us, and we'll talk about a lot of the other Euro interests. And Marcus, of course, tracking the Mile and more. Back after this.
Cheers, Casey. Thank you.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.